On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
So you get excited because they're excited, gets me excited, gets all our fans excited, and our sponsors. So it's going to work out.
Bless you, boys! Unbelievable! I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
Step into the well-informed, ill-advised, and oddly entertaining world of Tall Can Sports.
Here we go!
Light the candle!
We're back at it, man. Rob over there.
Hey!
I didn't know you required the intro before you would join us.
I was just waiting for you to go through your big run-through of why we haven't been around.
Yeah.
What's been happening.
Well.
How are you doing?
Some of us have been a little ill.
Some of us are always ill.
Well, yeah. There's that.
Okay.
I'm illin'.
You be illin'. Wait.
Yeah, so, you know, busy schedules and people being sick and, you know, whatever going on. So we're back. Lots going on. You can give us a follow on all the Instagrams and Twitters and whatnot at Talkin. And you should do that on Instagram today. We just posted everybody's picks. Rob's picks are up there for the Stanley Cup playoffs, which kick off tonight. Mine are up there. Mine are obviously the correct ones. Maddie,
as of right now, they're the correct ones.
Yeah, sure. Not a single one wrong at this point. Maddie and Amy are up there. And putting a little extra pressure on, man, I'm actually a little scared of this. When Amy sent hers over.
They were the exact same as yours?
No.
Okay.
Worse. She said that her son, 4 years old, Lucas, asked her what she was doing and decided he wanted to send his over. So we've posted those as well. Just for anyone who wants to follow along, find out if anybody finishes below how young Lucas does in these picks as we move through the playoffs.
Okay, and how were his picks?
There's some crazy shit, man. Okay. CBJ in five, making quick work at Tampa.
Yeah, way to go. Look at that guy.
But there's some that could happen, but yeah, it's a little out there.
Okay, perfect.
But we'll see. So those are posted right now at Tall Can Audio on Instagram. Love to hear yours. First of all, let us know who you think out of our group is way the fuck out to lunch.
Okay, why on Instagram, man?
Well, they go on to Twitter and Facebook too, but we're trying to build a following there. So we gotta put some stuff there.
All right, well. And I guess it...
Where would you like me to put them that you can interact with them? They're posted on a bulletin board.
I was just going to say, yes, on a cork board out here in front of the studio. Could you do that?
Jesus. I'm sorry we chose the social media that you're least likely to...
Okay, well, and then as soon as I said that, as soon as the words vacated my pie hole, I thought, okay, well...
Really, what do I care?
I'm not on Facebook. And I'm not on Twitter at the moment. So it makes it hard for me to get them anywhere. So
it's true, man.
It really doesn't matter.
All right.
I like shit spoon-fed to me. You know that's true.
For sure. Well, we'll keep you posted on how you're doing. Totally honestly.
Well, and I know.
Were you aware that this past weekend, and I know you were aware, was WrestleMania weekend?
Oh, Christ.
No, and don't worry. I wouldn't take you here unless there was a reason to.
That it was 5.5 hours long? Is that what you're going to?
No.
Okay.
The night before... They, at Barclays Center in Brooklyn, had the WWE Hall of Fame. And did you happen to hear what happened to Mr. Bret Hart at the Hall of Fame?
I didn't even know there was such a thing.
Okay. Well, there's no building. There's no whatever. They just have a ceremony every year and induct people. But,
well, see, I'm a member of a Hall of Fame just like that.
Yeah, okay.
There's no building. Yeah. There's no plaques. Oh, wait, it's only in my pants. That's it.
Bret Hart is inducted for the second time, this time as a member of the Hart Foundation.
For sure.
So it's he and Jim Neidhart's daughter that are standing.
Jim the Anvil.
That's right.
Neidhart.
Vince McMahon has a terrible thing where he doesn't think to put people in the Hall of Fame till they croak. Jim the Anvil probably would have appreciated the chance to stand up in front of his peers, but like, oh, he died this year. We could get some press by putting him in the Hall of Fame now, I guess. That's kind of how it works.
He's also going to be playing in the XFL this year.
Could be.
With John Manziel.
Nice. Jim Neidhart's daughter is a wrestler, currently in WWE. So her and Uncle Bret are standing up, giving their speech. When a drunk lunatic charges they're in the ring to do these speeches. And rugby tackles Bret to the ground, knocks Neidhart's daughter down while he's taking Bret down. And immediately, a bunch of wrestlers are in trying to get this guy off of Bret. Bret, for those who don't know, 61 years old, has had a stroke. His career ended due to a massive concussion. He had a cancer battle this year. Not doing great. Probably can't take a lot of hard knocks, right? So the interesting thing was, do you know that Travis Brown of the UFC married to Ronda Rousey?
Yeah, I do know him.
Okay. I just wondered if you knew he was married to Ronda. So Ronda is in the WWE. So Travis Brown is at the event. He's the first one on the scene, I guess, based on where his seat was. He must have seen the guy charging the ring.
Yeesh.
I don't know what kind of balls it takes to decide you're going to charge the stage or the ring at a wrestling event full of jacked up dudes. But at some point you've decided it's all fake.
It's Shawn Michaels, isn't it?
Right? That'd be awesome. At some point you've decided, I guess, that they're all fake. Like, I'll be okay. I'm going to be able to do. And the first guy you see coming at you when you get to the ring is legitimate mixed martial artist.
Yeah.
Travis Brown.
And a heavyweight.
Hammered this guy. He is raining down blows on him after he tackles him. Davey Boy Smith Jr. is in there also laying the boots to this guy as eventually a bunch of wrestlers get in, get everything separated and hand this guy off to the cops. But holy fuck, man, it was quite a scene to watch.
I have not heard that at all.
Okay, yeah. Well, if you were on the Twitter or the Instagram on Sunday, you'd have seen the video and the... It got around pretty good, man. But to me, there's just something funny about having a whole room full of people who fight for fake, and the one guy who gets to you—that
is the piece of corn in the big pile of poo. Am I right?
Just laying the blows down, man.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Well, and really, where's he coming from? How far back is he then?
Right. And to me, that's the only with how fast. What was the name I just said? It was Travis Brown. Was in there. He must have seen him running. He didn't just see him hit Bret. He saw him coming from wherever because he was on top of him quick after the tackle. And then there's other wrestlers jumping in afterwards. But major security lapse somewhere, right?
And you're in a... So this is a ticketed event?
Yeah. It was at Barclays Center.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did know in a related but unrelated note... Yeah, that the MetLife Center or
MetLife Stadium, home of the New York Jets and Giants,
which is in
New Jersey,
actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do know that because it went so long, that public transit
had probably shut down.
Had shut down like 2 hours before.
It looked like a UFC show, man. The main event did not go on until after midnight. Like, what are you supposed to do with that on a Sunday night? And you're PG, like they programmed to kids. Like, it was long.
Well, I was serious on the 5.5 hours.
Yes. Yeah, no, the pay-per-view started at 7 p.m.
Stupid.
Way too long. Even for, I don't know what sport I'm into enough to sit and watch that long, right? Like, that's too much. That's a triple overtime Leaf game or...
Hoover did. Yeah, this is it, right? It has to be, yeah, a Stanley Cup final,
right?
Or a game that your team is in,
right?
You know, in the playoff, you're not turning your team off, no matter what round.
That's right.
It is.
Yeah, but like, I'm interested in this Penguins Islanders series this weekend. I'm not watching that till 1 a.m. Like, fuck off.
Yeah. All right. Well, and that's interesting because you had said to me, you know, we're not going to break down each series,
right?
Right, and it comes down to really what we find the most appealing or interesting.
Yeah, what caught your eye.
And what if I asked you, what was the least appealing series of the 8-2?
I bet you're going to say Pens Islanders based on what I just said.
No.
No? Okay.
No, it's not. To me, it's not. It's in that middle creamy area, right? It's not in the bottom for me.
I expect, I would say I expect Washington, Carolina to be a laugher that I don't really care about. The Caps last year, showed they could get it done. They have a good blend that I could easily see going deep again. I don't see Carolina as a threat to them at all. And I'm sort of done with the Carolina net. We're all supposed to, what a great story. And the, like, I don't care. I don't love or hate the storm surge or whatever that they were doing afterwards, all that stuff. But I do resent the notion that I'm supposed to love them for it. So that one's probably, to me, the one I'm least interested in.
I think the one I'm least interested in is Nashville-Dallas.
Yeah, I could see that.
That just doesn't... I'm not sure what Nashville is doing this year, really, in terms of...
Well, that's Central, right up to the end, was up for grabs because no one would... Like, Winnipeg and Nashville were supposed to be runaway leaders with it, and they both stumbled to the finish. And
You dig it.
At 7 p.m. on this last day of the season, St. Louis was in first. Winnipeg and Nashville
both. Due to their afternoon win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those other two both win their games later in the evening and get back ahead of them. But, man, like.
St. Louis is a team that was in last place.
Dead last.
At some point.
January 3rd.
But so was Philly at one point, and they made a hard run at the playoffs, right? Petered out a couple weeks out.
How about Buffalo being at first at one point?
In December.
Yes.
Like, late enough that it's not like, oh, wow, look at those guys. It's not still October.
Right.
Right? If it's in December, late December, and you're still in first in the NHL.
Won like 8 games the rest of the way.
Yeah. Well, they actually, as shitty as Ottawa was, Buffalo had a worse record in 2019.
Yeah. Well, we just talked, right? St. Louis was behind Ottawa. Ottawa's thing was that they were shit all year. Lots of teams were
pretty consistently, shit.
Good for you. Yeah. Good for you. Consistency is important.
For sure it is.
But, you know, other teams were worse at different points, but you managed to hold the line.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, to me, I think the St. Louis-Winnipeg series is interesting just because of, you know, how hot St. Louis has been and how much Winnipeg has stumbled. I might be just on the border of rooting for St. Louis to get that done. I don't know if I really care, but we'll see. It's often one of those ones where you've said it to me before, and it makes a lot of sense. You don't know who you're cheering for till you turn it on, and it turns out after a period or two, you find yourself going, oh, I guess I like these guys, right?
Yeah.
Like,
and to me, that happens so often. You're like, I don't really, I'm ambivalent. Yeah.
Turns out I'm not.
Yeah, look at that. And I find there's very few, maybe watching baseball and it's the NL wild card.
Sure.
Maybe I'm fairly ambivalent and I find
another Brewers game.
Yeah, and I find myself never caring who wins it, and you just sort of go, whatever. But never in a hockey series do I ever find that I don't have a team that I'm either rooting for or that I'm rooting against.
No,
right?
It's true.
And so since my team is long since out of it, it does come down to I will be following the Penguins. I have a while we still have Sid around in his sort of pseudo prime.
Yeah. Well, before we move too far into this, I will mention because we got a tweet or two wondering how you had held up during the draft lottery show. We're going to hold that because we have a guest coming in on Sunday. Those of you who follow us and on Patreon heard this a few days ago, but Ian Mendez of TSN is going to come in here on Sunday and co-host an episode of Talk and Sports with Rob and I. And so I think it makes more sense to talk about the Ottawa stuff, you know, at that point with him, we can go a little deeper into it, you know, in terms of what did it mean, you know, for them to not end up winning the or losing the draft lottery and all that sort of stuff. I think we'll just kind of focus on the playoffs tonight and hold that for when Ian's here. Unless you have a strong...
Nope. And unrelated to anything else, but on that draft, I was confused a bit by it. Now, I don't mind saying it right now. I'm going to lay all my cards on the table here. Yeah, the fact with that win, and I can't remember who it was, right around 11 or 10, wasn't there. And they're like, oh, well, then we know they're in the top three. And I'm like, how do I know that?
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of crazy math going on in terms of the number of ping pong balls left. And that's happened to me before. I didn't get to watch it live. I was following along a little bit. I had seen on Twitter who the top three were, but I hadn't seen the order. And again, to me, that would go, well, then how do you know they're... But they had all won the lottery, the first overall lottery, the second overall lottery. Oh. That's how it works. There's three different lotteries now.
Okay. See, I didn't know that.
For the top three spots. So I guess if Dallas, or what the Rangers, let's say, if they're not in their spot at 11, they can't move up to 10. They had to have moved up to...
Makes perfect sense. Yeah. Now. Okay. I wasn't aware, that there was three tiers.
Right. Yeah.
Because then they kept saying, well, we know who's in fourth now. And I'm like, well, how do we know that?
Yeah, because you can only fall.
And we knew that the other three weren't in their spots.
Right.
And then weren't, okay. Because I missed that part and I'm watching it. I was watching it live and they didn't explain that.
Right.
And so they kept going, well, now we know. And I'm like,
I don't know.
Yeah. And then when four went to come up, and they went, well, obviously we know who this is.
Yeah.
I'm like, do we? And so I was, anyways.
Yeah.
That's all that is. And so, okay, that makes total sense to me. And I don't know how, for as much sports as I...
Well, it's because they keep changing it.
As I consume, you go, how does that... How do I miss that?
Right.
And people are talking about... Sorry, it's still not...
Yeah,
talking,
yeah. No, it's good, yeah.
But Taylor Hall's tweet...
It's pretty good.
Where he's talking about Gretzky's 92 goals and Sittler's 10 points in a game, you know, the records that are...
Yeah.
You know, fantastic, but...
My teams.
I've been on, you know...
Five lottery or...
Winning teams in the last 9 years. And that's not including the one that he was selected in.
Yeah.
Which would make it 6 out of 10 in for his teams. That's not a record I want to be a part of.
It means you're on a lot of awful teams, man.
And you as an integral part. Yes, you have become a very important part of shitty teams.
You referenced 5 out of 9 years of his career... His teams have won the draft lottery and picked first overall. In a sixth year, he won MVP. So he's had an interesting career, right? Like, if I'm not finishing last, I'm killing it and pulling people along.
Well, see, and as you say, he finished last. They took his year.
Yeah.
He wins an MVP.
Yeah.
And then they finished last. Or they didn't finish last, but they won
the lottery.
So anyways, you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah, it's a clever tweet, but you don't want to look too far behind it into what that means.
Yeah, well, that's the first thing I'm like, that's crappy, man. Yeah.
Be better.
Yeah, for sure. if you're gonna be that guy, be that guy.
Yeah. So Rob referenced an email I had sent to him the other day that, you know, a lot of years we'll go through each series, try and go a little bit in depth on it, make our picks, and you know, you referenced Nashville, Dallas. I don't know how much I have to say on Nashville, Dallas. We could have done that this year. The problem arises in between the next couple of rounds. When game 7 is Wednesday and round 2 starts game 1 on Thursday, we just don't have time to get anything done and tee them up round by round. So to me, I think it just makes a little more sense to, you know, hit on the stuff that actually does stand out to you and bypass the shit that nobody cares about. So, you know, to me, the one that jumps out that might be... You know, obviously I'm most geared on Toronto-Boston, but I'm looking forward to, I want to watch Calgary-Colorado. I think that's going to be a fast, high-flying, and both teams with pretty questionable goaltending, like that could be a high-flying series.
Well, I heard a stat today, and this may bode well for Flames fans out there, so so listen up. The last two Stanley Cup champions... Didn't have.
They used multiple goalies.
They started the playoffs with a different goalie.
Yeah. You could say three, probably. With the Capitals last year, started Grubauer in the first two games and then went to Holtby, and Holtby went the rest of the way. The year before that, it was Fleury who went to Murray.
Right.
And the year before that, there was some jigging around the same thing, that they had used both of those guys. So,
But Murray was the guy who
Murray
started.
Was the guy. But there was, if whether it was in that Washington series or whatever, they had gone to Fleury for a little bit before getting back to Murray.
Right, like, and they fully intended, if you remember, Murray 2 years ago hurt himself in warm-up for the first game.
That's right. That's what it was.
And Fleury went in.
Yeah.
And then, honestly, rode pretty hard through 2.5 series. It was halfway through the Ottawa series where Ottawa was, honestly, set to take that series. Fleury, not so good.
Right. Yeah.
And then they flipped over, and then Murray was solid.
Got her going again.
Yeah.
Yeah, so whether it's by injury or just by coach's decision or whatever, now you could make the argument, it's not the way you want to do it, but cup winners have done it. So if you're looking at Mike Smith and David Rittich, do you have two guys as good as Fleury and Murray or Grubauer and Holtby, or do you have this problem because neither of them have been good enough?
Yeah, and by all sort of everything I've read points towards Mike Smith getting the nod,
I think,
right?
So too. And I, in our fantasy pool, I was back and forth between those fuckers all year because Calgary wouldn't make up their mind. I'd go pick up Rittich and they'd go to Mike Smith for a week. I'm like, motherfuckers. I'd switch the next
week. Baby.
And they'd go back to the other guy. So they hadn't made up their mind for quite a while. But I think they want to go, with the veteran, Mike Smith, and, hope for the best at least to start.
Well,
but
go
ahead.
They play such a structured, solid defensive, responsible game, right? That if you can get decent.
Right.
Golden. You just can't suck.
Yeah.
Don't bring your Phoenix Coyotes bullshit here. Right? Play. Be solid, man.
Well, and with that, still a ton of talent, right? That top line with Lindholm, Monahan. You get the second line with Matthew Tkachuk on it. Goudreau's the third guy on that first line. Backlund and Tkachuk have been really good all year. I think Tkachuk may have ended with 40 goals.
76 points, I believe.
So they're dangerous, and obviously everybody knows what that Colorado top line is capable of when healthy. Rantanen for the first half of the year was on pace for something just stupid.
I'm not sure he's in.
No, I think on to start the series, he may be out. But, if they can get MacKinnon and Landeskog going, and some of these younger guys, they got Clayton Kerfoot, the stuff that he's done.
Thank you, New Jersey.
I think it's interesting. I actually picked Colorado in 7. I think Calgary's the better team, but I don't trust their goaltending very much. And I just think this is going to be a lot of 6-4 stuff that, I don't trust Calgary.
Well, and I don't. See, I think I went Calgary in 6. I can't remember.
I think that sounds right.
You
can find out at Talking Audio on Instagram.
On Instagram, because I can't. Let me know when you find out. Grubauer with his, if that wasn't his debut last year, pretty suspect that he gets 2 games.
Yeah.
The Caps lose both. Right. I think.
Man, they were dead in the water.
For sure. Hey, and then the third game went, and they hit Panarin, hits a post.
Yeah.
You are that close.
And you win the whole fucking thing.
Yeah. I've been completely underwhelmed by Colorado post that.
Yeah.
Beyond that top line.
Yep.
And I think what Calgary brings, short of goaltending.
Yeah.
And again, Grubauer and whoever else
Varlamov.
Is out there, Varlamov, is not striking any fear into my heart.
No, but I've seen Varlamov get hot more recently than I've seen Mike Smith get hot, right?
Sure. So. And the thing about Colorado, I think probably their single biggest beyond, is the elevation, right?
Yeah, sure. Calgary's.
I was just going to say Calgary is likely the closest team in elevation to them, right?
Yeah.
And so not as much of a break there for Colorado. Whereas I think it's a huge, especially when Eastern teams go in there.
Yeah.
That it's very hard, right? And that's a huge advantage. Whereas I that is almost completely nullified when Calgary rolls in.
Well, and it's somewhat, you mentioned when Toronto or when Eastern teams roll in there. For me, I'm always obviously thinking of Toronto, but it's always part of some shit road trip that's also Arizona.
Yeah.
And so you're going like the desert and then up into this mountain. You're like, what the fuck? It has to be very disorienting. And you know, hard to get up for too. So I think it's, to me, I just think that one has the potential, regardless of who I think is going to win it, to be kind of crazy, right? Have a lot of weird shit happening. The other one, I think, in terms of it being maybe the most kind of old time go to war playoff hockey, could be St. Louis, Winnipeg.
That to me is, I am super intrigued with how that's going to shake
out. Yeah.
I look at somebody I was reading somewhere today where they were talking about teams that have the most pressure if they lose game one, right?
Yep.
You know, it's not the same, like if Tampa loses.
Sure. They could still bulldoze you
then,
the next
four. Then we're going to steamroll you in four here, yeah. And then we're going to be done with it. So it's not the same. But I look at, to me, Winnipeg. Winnipeg loses at home in game one.
Yep.
Man, the pressure gets.
Well, and so I wanted to ask you, because there's a couple teams, you know, Toronto's got this a little bit. Nashville's got this a little bit in terms of, how does it matter how you finished, right? Because Winnipeg has not been impressive down the stretch. Now, they did have some big injuries on their blue line, I think, with both Morrissey and Byfuglien being out.
Byfuglien's back, but I don't think Morrissey is.
I think that's correct. So I know that it's not as simple as you can't just flip a switch. But how much should you Winnipeg's been home and cooled for so long. They were in first at Christmas. They know they're good. Does it matter that they weren't great coming down the stretch, or, you know, are there real problems there? The craziest stat before I saw today was Laine finished with 30 goals, but he scored them in 19 games, and he scored 17 of them in November. So what did you give me for the other 60 games? If you're not scoring, what are you bringing?
He had 19 goals in the first 22 games.
Yeah.
And then he had whatever that is, 11 and 60, something like that.
Yeah.
And you're like, oof. And I had him in the pool.
Right.
Sucking.
It was great in November.
Man. Well, and if you remember how slowly he started,
yep.
And then totally got lit in that Florida Jets series, two-game series.
In Finland.
In Helsinki.
Yeah.
And so he came out of there, I think, with six goals.
When you watch him in November going, okay, guess that was overblown. Here we go, right back to me. And then December 1st hits, you know, oh, no,
yeah.
still a problem.
Well, and I think that's problematic. Right, that they've pushed him down. He's down on the third line.
Yeah.
With Little and Connors, I think is what
yeah.
they.
Well, and I was bullish on them picking up from the Rangers.
Hayes.
I thought that was a really good fit. It's been okay, but he hasn't been as good as what Stastny brought, obviously, when he came over last year. Right? Like, they're just not, they don't look right.
Well, and as you suggest, Byfuglien and Morrissey and Trouba, that's their shutdown.
Yeah,
that's their shutdown pair. They are good at that
for sure.
Right, to me they are an outstanding duo for that. And without him, you really suffer. And I think no Byfuglien, no Morrissey, and I think you just have problems. Hellebuck hasn't been as outstanding as last year, and part of that may be breakdowns in front. But sort of doubling back to your original question.
Yeah.
Be it Leafs or, and to me, Leafs and Jets are sort of the poster boys
yep.
for this.
No, it's true.
And
Washington a little bit, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
More so Leafs and Jets, for sure.
I also don't believe that you can flip a switch.
Right.
Right. I think it's super problematic for those guys. Now, press in both cities have put a lot of stock into, yeah, but both knew what they were was going to be happening. Like Toronto was locked into Boston.
That's true. Winnipeg had no idea though.
Yeah.
To the final day.
Yeah.
All three of them were still up for grabs.
Yeah. And this is what I'm saying
yeah.
is it's nice hometown press.
Sure.
Right. When you want to sort of, when you're tired of pounding the home team, right. And you want to, you want to pump up the local fans
right.
a little bit and give them some hope. That's what you do. I think it's very problematic. I have both those teams losing in the first round.
Yeah.
And part of it is, I don't think you can just snap it in. And if you can, I like Winnipeg's chances better.
See, I was going to say, and I know this is going to come off very blue, but that's
okay.
That's fine, because we're going to get to that series.
You're such a homer.
I think Winnipeg is less likely to be able to do it only because St. Louis is so hot. I think the fact that you're stumbling and your opponent is so, like, if you're in dead last on January 3rd and you were sitting in first with a chance to close that out on the last day of the regular season, you know, it's entirely possible that Jordan Binnington, career minor leaguer, falls apart in round one. But it's entirely possible.
Hello, Andrew Hammond.
They just stay that hot, right, and could just roll right over Winnipeg. I also picked the Blues to win that series.
Well, and the thing with the Blues are, is they have a defense corps that is big and mobile.
Yep.
And they don't allow you.
And in December, they were trading Parayko and Pietrangelo.
That's a terrible idea.
Of course it is. Now you're back in the playoffs needing both those guys.
Yeah.
Pietrangelo said, there's an article in The Athletic right now, Pietrangelo said in December, he wasn't just sure he was getting traded. He was going to Toronto. He'd been talking to his agent. He knew that was happening. It was for William Nylander and something else, and that was a done deal. And then all of a sudden, it wasn't. It all, for whatever reason, they decided, Toronto decided not to do it. And in hindsight, it should have been St. Louis who went, no.
Yeah, well, see, and Pietrangelo's older, right? Like, yeah. He's got to be 30.
30-ish, yep.
And, but, man, would he look good as a Leaf?
For sure, yeah. Yeah. So, at the time, he was coming off the hand thing, and people weren't sure if he was going to be healthy.
He's had a quiet season.
Yeah.
But he's a stud.
Yeah, for sure. And the fact that they've got him and Parayko still, you know, they've been scratching J-Bo, so whatever. But they've got some other young pieces.
They just extended him, though.
Yeah, I know.
It's weird.
It is weird. I don't think the coach and GM are on the same page there. But, you know, I like St. Louis. I like what they bring. I'm not sure how long you referenced Andrew Hammond, right? How long before the clock strikes 12 for Cinderella there. But if he's going to stay hot, if they're going to stay hot, Winnipeg's got a real problem.
Well, see, because that Hammond went 23-3
yeah.
and 3
yeah.
in just 29 stupid. Games.
Yeah.
And then hit the playoffs. Flap.
Oh, I remember who I am.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Never started a game in the NHL before this year. Correct. Yeah.
That extension.
There is a... Yeah. Yes.
Lock him off.
Yes. Clearly. Bottle that magic. Yeah, it is. There is that when the lights come on, you go, hey, wait.
Yeah. Oh, it's real now. I came into a last place team. There was no expectations.
Yeah. And played and with a new coach.
Yeah.
Right? When you had the change, Mike Yeo.
Yep. See you, buddy.
See ya.
Greg Berube.
Yeah. Well, and Mike Yeo, interesting for that guy. Couple of stints now, Minnesota, canned when things went bad for him there. Was it Minnesota?
Yep.
And then St. Louis, and you're like, shh.
Well, and, you know, I'm hearing Ottawa's interested. Was interested, couldn't get him the last time.
Yeah, they
maybe
were,
interested again.
They were interested. I'm not hearing too much about that now. There was a couple of day period where
yep.
that was sort of getting knocked around going, hey, he was the runner up to
because
Boucher.
He was in the news, yeah.
Yeah, and yep. you sort of go, psh, no.
No, could be.
Right. Yep. But, I think the defensive core that's there, and if you hearken back to the beginning of the season.
Oh, I love a good hearkening.
I think, can only speak for me, I saw the Central going Nashville, Winnipeg, St. Louis. And so to me, they were so bad so early. It was like so many of my other picks where you went, that's terrible.
On nuts.
You totally fudged that, right? But.
End of the day.
I expected way more from them, right? And to me, Ryan O'Reilly.
Yep.
I honestly get him and
Morgan Riley.
Morgan Riley mixed up.
Morgan O'Reilly.
Yeah, Morgan O'Reilly and Ryan Riley. Yeah, the way he's played in terms of the two-way game.
He fleeced Buffalo hard.
Yeah, well, okay. This just the end. What are you gonna do?
All the cool kids are doing it.
Yeah. It's their game is so bright. I think it's the worst matchup for Winnipeg.
Yeah, I do too. Just even in terms of if they get through, what it's going to take out of you. I expect that to be a heavy series in whatever that still means in 2019. You mentioned O'Reilly finished with 77 points, so a point of game player, but he does so much more than that. In the playoffs, like he becomes every coach's favorite. He's your face-off guy. He's your penalty kill guy. He's your power play guy. He's your last-minute guy. He's like, you love Ryan O'Reilly. And
Buffalo didn't.
No, Buffalo did not, but I'm sure.
And apparently Colorado didn't either.
No, well, true enough, man. So, you know, I think that's an interesting one. Tarasenko got it going there in the second half of the year. They've got some interesting depth, right? I'll be cheering for my boy Bozak.
I was just going to say, your boy Bozak.
Yeah. You know, so I'm intrigued by that series. To me, that one's
And I agree with you. That's all. I wanted to throw my endorsement on that too. That is a series that I'm most interested in.
I think it starts tonight, doesn't it?
It does start tonight.
8 o'clock. Yeah.
That's probably by the time all you good listeners, are rubbing your ears over this.
I'm interested in Tampa Columbus. Most people have Tampa rolling through this. I've got Tampa winning it, but I think I picked it to go seven. I think that Columbus team, you know, I think the pressure got to them a little bit coming down the stretch, but they play a playoff style, right? And they added some good depth with Duchesne and Dzingel. We talked, I think, on the show before.
Hey, don't forget McQuaid.
How could you ever forget? I think he got hurt.
All right.
But I said to you a number of times, I don't remember if I said it on the show, I was pulling hard for Columbus to get in because I love that they went for it.
And I was pulling hard for them to not get it in.
And this wasn't even for me an anti-Ottawa thing. This was they went for it, right? They did some crazy shit at the deadline. No, we're doing this. And if they had flamed out and missed, everyone gets to point and go, see, that's why you don't do that. And we go back to everybody being conservative and everybody. I love that they went for it. Now, I think they probably would have hoped to have climbed a little higher and not have landed Tampa.
Yeah, you know that when Kekalainen, and I agree with you, and people should never, you know, it's bullshit if they do it, you know, without looking all the way back. Because the reality is, man, Kekalainen's over barrel.
Yes. Right?
Panarin and Bobrovsky both saying, yeah, we're not coming back.
Right.
And you're like, but we're a playoff team right now. What do you want me to do with, right, my two-time Vezina goalie, my elite scorer? Do I trade them? Yes, apparently now you do. But yeah, when he said, fuck it, all in, right? I'm trading away all my picks for the next two years in the top three rounds. Yeah, you got to love it because he's saying, yeah, all right, I'm not going to have it. I'm not going to be dictated to.
Right. Well, and how often does, you know, like I said, I'm sure they didn't expect they would be landing Tampa when they did it, but right, how often do we see these historically, the President's Trophy winner, first of all, never wins the cup. And, you know, they tied the 96, I think it was, Red Wings,
yeah,
in terms of points. And those guys got fucked out by the Avalanche in the second or third round that year. Like, crazy things happen, man. And I don't know that Columbus is deep enough to do that, but I think Columbus can give them a series, especially if Bobrovsky's hot. You talked about whether or not, you know, oh, should they trade Panarin and Bobrovsky and you know, gear up for later? Should they go for it? In that game against New York, where they clinched their playoff spot, Bobrovsky was unbelievable. I watched that game start to finish, and Panarin chipped in with 2 points. So you kind of go you needed them.
But did New York play Georgiev?
They did.
Okay.
It was... Georgiev.
All right, then my theory is completely out the window.
Well, I'm sitting there going, this guy's he fucked the Leafs a couple times this year, and he's fucking the Habs right now. So they're not even in this game.
He's loving it.
Yeah, he's on a big stage for sure. So, yeah, you know what? I think Columbus can give them a series. I'm super intrigued by it. I think it's going to be long.
Yeah, to me, I disagree.
I'm getting that.
I disagree. Now, I think, as you suggest, yeah, that they didn't think that they were going to scuffle in. They went through stretches, five games without a win,
yeah,
right, post-trade deadline, and you went, all right. And then you start hearing people say, yeah, they did too much, right? They did too much tinkering, and they've changed the chemistry in the room and blah, blah, blah,
yep,
right? And then they hit their stride, won five in a row. And, yeah, clearly I would like them against, you know, virtually anybody else in the East other than Pittsburgh and Washington. I mean, Washington and Tampa. Like, really, to me, I think they set up nicely.
Yeah.
If they could have...
avoided this.
Yeah, if they could have got in and played the Islanders or the Penguins, yeah, I'd like them against both those teams.
Really, Islanders, I'm with you. I think Pittsburgh may be the one team who can flip the switch here. But
yeah, yeah. Well, I like Pittsburgh in their series, too.
Yes.
But I'm just saying, to me, Columbus, I think, is... they at times have looked... post-trade deadline, they've looked very soulless.
Yeah.
And then at other times, they've looked quite good. They can't afford any heckle and Jekyll kind of thing here.
What do you think that is? Is it just that they know the core's breaking up no matter what happens? Is it just
Let's get the band back together.
Is it just not gelling? Is like, because I agree that you're like, what's happening here? Like, why are you not able to get up for this? And
yeah, I don't know. And it can't be, because to me, coaching, because to me, I think Torts is going to be as honest with you, and he's gonna push your buttons.
Nope. Yeah.
I don't know.
It's weird, man. They're so much better than their record was down the stretch. To me, and so now are we going to get regular season Bobrovsky or playoff Bobrovsky? Because that's huge. In my scenario where Columbus is pushing Tampa deep, Bobrovsky's doing...
It's that seven shutout Bobrovsky in his last 30 games or whatever it was, right? Like he was...
Yeah.
He had some very stellar play down the stretch.
Yeah.
When they played him.
Yes.
There was a couple games where it was like must win, like air quotes, must win. And they got Corpusalo in there. And you're like... That one game, they didn't even play him.
Yeah. Keith Kincaid getting his spot on the bench.
You're
or
like,
whatever.
What? Yeah. What are you doing? And so you look at Columbus, I think they had the second best penalty kill.
Yep.
But then they have like the 30th power play. They can't afford that, right?
No.
To me, it's goaltending, check, you know, Bobrovsky. And you go, your goalie needs to outplay their goalie.
Yep.
And you go in most series, you go Bobrovsky over blank, and you look at all the series where there's goaltending issues.
Yeah.
Oh, snap. That's not one of them, right?
Right. Yeah.
And you look at the other end, you go, ah, it's Vasilevskiy. He's only won 50 games this year or whatever it was, right? And you're like, shit. Right.
But Louis Domingue is putting up Vezina numbers behind Tampa Bay.
So. Yeah. Well, and that's the problem is as good as Columbus is, to me, they're just good. That's all they are?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're playing a, statistically anyways, historically great team.
It's true, man.
So you got to bring more than off and on good hockey if they're going to beat Tampa. And I got Tampa, I think, at 5.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. I think I had them in 7. But were you surprised that Kucherov became the highest scoring Russian in NHL history this year? Obviously, he had a great season. But you think back to some of the years Fedorov had, some of Pavel Bure's like 50-some-odd goal seasons. I guess he wasn't getting any assists.
McGillney had 70 goals, yeah. I think, in one season.
Like to me, and I think that's actually who he dethroned, was McGillney from that season.
I was going to say, but I bet you McGillney had 8 assists.
Right. To me, that's a, in this era, right, where we don't have those big numbers anymore, I was surprised that it was 124 points, whatever. That's a hell of a season, but I was surprised that was enough to be...
Well, and follow me down the road here.
Sure.
Because I'm, you know.
Old AF.
Closing in on that, I was looking at an article in The Athletic where it talked about.
See, when you use sentences like that, you get to fight off the old AF label just a little bit. Like he knows what The Athletic is, and he knows how to access it.
Yeah. Look at me.
Yeah.
I think you set that up for me, though. Thanks, Rob. Appreciate that.
I wasn't going to tell anybody.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm totally good with it.
Excuse me.
Yeah, him talking about, you know, his boyhood legends are as impressed as all get out with him.
He's like, saying that. Nice.
No, he's not saying that.
Oh, okay.
He's saying there.
The guys I look up to now think I'm awesome.
Yeah, no, it was saying, you know, his childhood idols.
Right.
Are impressed with him. And okay. So I'm like, all right, so you're talking about, right, the old green unit from the Soviets in the 80s?
Sure, yeah.
No, he's talking about the five from the wings in the mid-90s, which is still Larionov and Fetisov, right?
But it's 22 years
Konstantinov,
ago.
Konstantinov, Kozlov, and Fedorov, right? And I'm like, God. Like, I'm out of high school by that time already, right? And you're this little...
I was drunk watching those guys.
You're a booger face. Yeah, trying to dry my tears. Because as a longtime Wings fan growing up, those are the teams that were going to get it done.
Yeah.
And did eventually. But, yeah. Man, I thought, forever. It was never going to happen. But, yeah, to me, yeah, it's impressive. But to me, the more impressive stat that he has is that he had most ever assists by a winger.
Yeah.
In NHL history.
No, it's true.
That to me is...
That's heady company that you've most, blown
yeah,
past.
Yeah, most ever says pretty good.
Yeah, for sure.
And it just goes to show you just how dominant the centers are in that, right? And how important that is in terms of point driving and whatnot that he's able to... 87 or something like that, I think, assists.
Yeah, sounds familiar.
That you're able to generate that much offense off the wings is pretty impressive.
obviously for me, the Toronto-Boston thing is where I want to finish. Is there anywhere you want to go first, or are those sort of the noteworthy ones for you?
Yeah, that's absolutely, that's where I'm at.
Sorry, I thought you were going to carry me a little bit longer there.
Yeah, well, and I would have, but then I looked over and I thought, all right, look at that guy.
Look at that specimen.
What a magnificent bastard. Yeah, no, really, we've touched on just about everything. I don't care about Carolina at all.
I'm not staying up for Vegas, San Jose.
Oh,
snap.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not staying up for it either.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it was starting at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
But I'm super. That to me, that's the Mark Stone, Eric Carlson.
Yep. All right, I get that. Yeah.
That is the battle of your former Senators. Faves.
Well, I was going to say it's Stastny centering the former Atlantic captains.
Yeah, well.
I remember after one of Stone's first games there, I never thought I'd be celebrating one of that guy's goals because he's playing on the line with Pacioretty right after all the wars they'd had. Well,
and not only that, Pacioretty had 3 breakaways a game against Ottawa. Like, honestly, he's one of those guys like where you go, fuck, what is he doing?
Yeah.
How is that guy getting that open all the time? He's not that good.
Right. Apparently.
But, well, there he is.
Yep.
When you look at their second line that they didn't have last year.
Yeah.
Right? Pacioretty, Stastny, and Stone.
As good as most first lines.
And you're like, that line's killing. Because the top line of Carlson, Smith, and Marchessault didn't have nearly as good as a year.
No.
Especially Carlson. Okay, well.
Now, he was better in the second half.
But you and I talked about it, right? That we saw a drop to, I think we were even as bold as to say mid-20s.
Yes.
Right, and I don't know where he ended up with, but
I think he got 30 again.
Okay,
yeah,
but he was struggling.
Yes,
early
up to like Christmas. You're like, eh,
well, and there Smith was hurt for a bit.
Yep. But as you've talked about, right, that kind of depth. Who do you want to check now? Right, maybe that helps get that first line going. Everybody looks at the Stastny, Pacioretty, Stone going. We should probably cover those fucking guys. We should probably check those guys. And now all of a sudden things open up a little bit for that.
Well, and you look at the health of San Jose, right? Vlasic hasn't been great this year.
No.
Right? Pavelski, pretty sketchy in terms of how healthy he is.
Yeah.
Carlson is now back and is saying, yeah, I told you I'd be back for the playoffs.
I wonder what's left there.
Yeah. Well, this is it. I have
good luck in UFA, buddy.
I don't have a pile of faith in what he's bringing back. And while Burns has put up 80-plus points,
yeah, fuck.
Right, he has been atrocious in his own end this year.
Says Drew Doughty.
Yeah, okay, I didn't hear that. Drew Doughty's shooting his pie hole a bunch.
Well, so I think it was
Drew, your team finished fucking 30th.
I'm trying to remember who he started off taking a run at.
Matthew Tkachuk.
And it was only like a day or two, maybe it was even the same day, he's talking about... People got Brent Burns up for the, help me out.
Norris.
You just watch a game, there's guys blowing by him 3 times a night or whatever. And I'm like, you're sitting in last place, man.
Yeah.
Like, chill out.
Well, this is it. You're taking runs at Tkachuk, right, with 70-plus points on a first-place team.
Yeah.
Right? And whatever you think of him, and I get it, right?
Yeah, nobody likes the Tkachuks.
Nobody. No. But that's awesome.
Yeah, no, for sure, if you have one.
Right.
Yeah.
You sort of go, look at that guy.
Yeah.
And so, but you can't deny what Matthew Tkachuk does.
Right.
Well, I think I just fucking had a stroke there. You can't deny how impactful he is both with the puck and away from it.
Yeah.
And he's driving your team batshit crazy. Yeah,
on top of what he's bringing talent-wise. He's with your head.
Yeah, and so if you're talking about him, now, worth noting, the Kings went out and beat the Flames 3-0. That next game out.
Yeah.
Now, I think the Flames were already home and cooled and had rested some guys, but I think they certainly weren't excited
for a game with the last place games. Yeah.
Dion Phaneuf's coming back to town?
Yeah.
Sweet, buddy.
He'd be in the press box.
But. Yes. With his big marshmallow head. But yeah, I think Doughty should just...
Shut up.
Hey, buddy, you know what?
Just getting ready to start your eight-year deal on the last place.
Yeah, and that's fine, right? But you're like, your hype machine, your personal hype machine for your Norris, I think that just turns most people off, right? You end up going, shut up, right? We know those things. We see that shit. You don't need to tell us. Now, maybe when you're dealing with the, you know, Southern California media,
sure,
perhaps you need to tell them that.
You took Vegas?
I have Vegas in six.
I believe I took San Jose in seven.
You're putting all your chips in on Martin Jones.
I am. Him and his 889 save percentage.
Trust me, again, that's a guy who you're like, that San Jose team is set to go. Yeah. I had Jones in the pool, and you're like, he was sub 900 the entire season.
But if you recall, I bet against Vegas in every round last year.
So did I.
I was wrong every time.
And so I think I bet against Washington and everyone right up until the final.
When they were facing Vegas. Like, yeah, this time.
Yeah, this is it. I think both those teams I rode hard against. And so it came down to.
Yeah. So, no, I just. There's concerns there for sure. But,
well, and is Fleury healthy, right?
Yep, exactly.
He had a smoking hot season.
Yep.
Right? And I don't know where the Vezina nominations are going to come from. Bishop is obviously. Bishop Vasilevsky, and maybe a nod to the Lehner.
Could be, yeah.
Right, as a guy with almost a 930 save percentage.
Yeah.
He killed it. Now, his 929 or whatever he had,
that was Georgiev.
Only surpassed by Bishop. I don't think Bishop's getting enough talk in terms of the season he's had.
I believe I had Dallas to finish last in the division.
Okay, didn't pan. I think at some point we should look at that.
Okay.
We should go back and look.
We can do that.
Look at what I know this is the fat time of the season, right? Yeah. Where there's no shortage of hockey shit to talk about.
Right.
But there was some stuff in the predictions where we were spot on. And then there's some things where you go, wow.
Well, as we transition over, you've segued nicely to the Toronto-Boston series where you were indignant that Halak would see 30 starts. He finished with 36.
So. Yeah, well, I think you said to be honest and frank and cards on the table, I think you said, I wouldn't be surprised to see a 50-50 split.
Yeah. Well, I just Rask wasn't great and Halak was. So they're starting with Rask. I've seen a number of places writing that no one will be shocked if it doesn't go well to start. Halak could be in there real fast.
Well, you see, Bruce Cassidy is an Ottawa guy, right? He's from Ottawa.
Yeah.
Played for the 67s. He was on, at 6 a.m. this morning, he was on local radio on the way to the rink.
Talking to Ottawa radio.
Yep.
Good for that guy.
Yep. Well, 6 a.m. to 10, Sean Simpson's on there, right? Simmer used to be the assistant GM in Washington. Bruce Cassidy was coach in Washington.
Still, you'd think. Your focus would be elsewhere, and then if you had to do it's got to be Boston and then maybe Toronto media, right?
Like, I think he's saying, yeah, I can fit you in.
Yeah.
But it's got to be, I'm on the way to work, 6:15, right? He's in the car, clearly. You could hear the ching, ching. But anyways, he is a super refreshing guy to listen to.
Yep.
You ask him whatever questions, he's giving it to you, right? They were asking him about, what are you going to do with Bergeron, right? Where are you going to put him up against? You know, are you going to set him up against a Tavares Marner line?
Right.
And he said, Bergie. Bergie, we'll see that Tavares Marner line is probably where that's going to go. He said, we have a fourth line of Achari, Wagner, Nordstrom.
Yep.
Right. Backus has been on that line at times too. He said, where we use that as a shutdown line.
Yep.
He said, it won't be a hard match, he said, because I don't want to give up
ice time
and the offensive zone faceoffs. And he said, so that will be the match, but it'll be a soft match.
Well, and I think, you know, everything that I've seen all year would lead me to believe that, at least to start, that's what Babcock wants to. He trusts Tavares more than Matthews in the defensive zone and to cover and things. And he's hoping that if Tavares, Marner, Hyman, who he's used a lot to shut down other teams, you know, if he can get them going against Bergeron, his hope is that Matthews can beat Krejci, right? Can beat Achari, can beat Coyle, right? That the Leafs, that's where the Leafs' depth, in theory, for everything that people talk about with the series last year, and the Bergeron line did torch us, but they torched us on the power play. That power play ran at almost 50% in the series. We're getting fucked. They at 5-on-5... It was a 6-5 saw-off, and he was facing Plekanec most of the series because Kadri had seen the red mist and done some crazy shit. I think they're hoping that...
I hope that happens again. Although,
me too,
really, kinda. Really, the way he's going to say the way he's played this year,
yeah,
we'd probably be better off with him on the ice.
Yeah, I think that's what Babcock wants to. I think he trusts Tavares. Marner kills penalties. Hyman is his shutdown guy. He likes that. So, you know, at least to start, I think if both coaches are happy with that matchup, you know, we'll see, right? And then they'll count on, we'll see whose depth can get it done.
Right. And I think with the second line, and Krejci had a great season, right? If you look at his, played 81 games, had almost 70 points, I believe.
Yep.
DeBrusque is healthy and rolling now. I think what they have going isn't, if people talk about, to me, Boston isn't a one-line team like Colorado's a one-line team.
No.
Right? And if you look at...
Especially, they made, to bring in Johansson at the deadline was a good pickup. I think Coyle's a little overrated, but he gives them better center depth than they had.
Well, and what Coyle, to me, I don't think Coyle's overrated. I think anybody who's giving him any more credence than a third line, you know, good skating two-way guy.
Right.
That's what he is.
Yep.
To me. And so when you have a team like Boston, you don't want to bring in a Wayne Simmons or somebody like that who's going to take up more headspace or oxygen. You need a guy like Coyle when you have the team like Boston has. He's going to come in and he's going to be sensible and he's going to play two-way and go about his business.
Yeah. You're suggesting Simmons wouldn't have? I'm not sure I'm understanding the comparison.
Yeah. To me, I think Simmons isn't as great a two-way player. And Simmons, the emphasis is on he plays a bit of a louder game.
Yeah.
If he's at his most effective,
yep,
right? That he is a little chippy. He's in front of the net. He's doing things. He may take penalties. I don't think he's going to be as, you know, he's not going to make as much of a fuss inserting him into a lineup.
Right.
Right? Whereas the Leafs maybe could have used Wayne Simmons because, to me, they're pretty vanilla.
I want to talk a little bit about the defense because there's no question the Maple Leafs defense is better than it was last year when you bring in Muzzin over Polak. That's a sweet swap. In terms of how you're going to do this, we've been begging Babcock all year to please don't do this again with Ron Hainsey to be the guy against the Bergeron line, and we're doing it. We're going.
Well, here Babs, he comes. Babs is a loyal guy.
We're running chin first into that fist, it looks like. But I like if they're healthy, and we don't know how healthy they are, to be honest with you, if Gardner and Dermott are playing together, which it looks like they're going to, that is a smooth skating, up and out of the zone, quick pair. And Muzzin has had far more luck pulling Zaitsev along than Gardner did all year. So that's probably going to be, you know, your hard match defense pair, which scares me a little because
who's Zaitsev and
Muzzin? They're what you would look at and go, okay, I see what you're trying to do, be a little more physical, be a little more whatever, but the puck possession's not going to be great, right? The up and out of your zone is not going to be great.
So are you putting all your eggs in the Jake Dash 5 Gardner basket?
Well, he was our best defenseman in that series until that game. And things went very, very wrong.
Yeah.
But he was seeing more ice time than Riley, and rightfully so in that series. He was very good. I don't know how much we've talked about it on this show. Most of the people who chat with me on our Twitter account know I am not a Gardner fan. But I'm more one now than I was before the injury, where you look and go, okay, I see what you bring there. Right?
Yeah, well, puck possession.
Yes.
Right? Puck transport.
And that's part of being good defensively. Don't be playing defense. Right?
Well,
don't, if you have the puck.
See, and I still much prefer Boston's defense.
I do too. Don't get me wrong. I prefer Boston's defense.
Okay, where I was going with that is for as, and again, the use of air quotes on sure, audio thing. Torrey Krug is Jake Gardner.
Yep.
To me, in a lot of ways.
Yep.
He is also scary as hell if you pressure and lean on him.
Right.
Right? Defensively, he's going to fucking give it up.
Yep.
Right? So he is, to me, that's the spot for the amount of ice time that he's likely to get. Torrey Krug is also, he's a boom and bust kind of guy.
Well, and he killed us when I said their power play was unreal in that series. He was the one running it, and he was very good offensively on the power play. But yeah, you can hem him in. Like, you can go to work on him in the other end. But
slight. Man, he's small.
Right.
He's not a big man, right? And so
the opposite of that being Chera, and he scares me because he's allowed to do whatever he wants. And you've just sort of, a little bit like you see in the NBA playoffs, where I understand in the playoffs the whistle gets put away a bit, but for that guy, it's another level in terms of, oh, look, there's someone getting past him again, and he's allowed to just grab him and throw him to the ice, and because he's a Dano Chara, that's okay.
Well, it's what they call a big man penalty, or a big man. That's just, hey, nothing you can do about that.
Being strong.
I'm just bigger and stronger than you. Don't penalize me for that.
That is one of the reasons it looks like, at least going into the series for the first two games on the road, they've split up Austin and Willie. It's because last year, Willie was not willing to go into the corner with Chara like Marner was, like Kapanen was, like some of the... So Willie's going to go down and play with Kadri on the third line, hopefully give a little more depth there, help get Naz going a bit, and Kapanen and Janssen on Matthews' wings.
So where are they playing Marlowe? With Kadri?
Yeah. He's killing us.
Okay, so you're going to have a sluggish Kadri this year with the line killer Marlowe.
I don't know how much you buy into this stuff.
And a soft Nylander.
He's not soft.
You just said he wouldn't go into the corners.
I'm not going into the corner with Chara. I'm 6'3". I'm not going either. But Marlowe, anybody he's played with this year has suffered. And so Babs is going to have to figure out. Now, he played Marlowe a lot less minutes coming down the stretch. I don't know if that was resting him or understanding that he's not playing well. But I think Babs has said a few times, I'm just waiting on playoffs.
Just for the record, Nylander is soft. That's all that is.
I think you should watch more Nylander. And you're gonna.
I will.
You're about to watch.
This is it.
Several games of it. We'll see how many. But yeah, to me, it's interesting. And they're just hoping to free Matthews up a bit. I don't like our fourth line. I can't possibly understand why Ennis isn't playing. But Babs is married to, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but I need downtown Connor Brown to come out of the lineup for Tyler Ennis.
Oh my God.
I know.
That is absolute sacrilege.
I know. For me. So. Yeah, you know what, man? All the underlying numbers for Kadri this year say he's doing fine, but he's not scoring. So I don't know how much you want to buy into those. They're only a compliment to the eye test, right? And he's not scoring. He's not getting it done. So
well, but
could
see,
he bust out? I guess. But
see, and that is the thing when it comes down to analytics versus, as you said, the eye test.
Yep.
And you go, yeah, right. So all his stats, all his numbers look good, except the numbers that count.
Yeah. Well, there's no Corsi on the scoreboard.
Well, this isn't you. What are you doing?
No, get it. Yeah.
No, we're not arguing against each other here.
They complement each other, hopefully, right?
Because when you look at when they brought Tavares in, to me at that point, you stop and go,
holy fuck.
Okay, you now have Matthews, Tavares, Matthews, whatever that is.
Yeah.
And you have a 30 goal guy in Kadri. Who can kill penalties, who can agitate, who can do a bunch of things. He's now sitting there in the third hole like a big fat toad. It's awesome, right? If that's your deal, and then go, but he hasn't had this poor a season in what, 4 or 5 years?
That's right.
And you go, is there a correlation now between
he needs the minutes or
role, ice
or
time,
is he just
all
sulking?
That stuff.
Is he, yeah.
Well, he's under contract for what?
Well, another couple years anyway.
Yeah, so guess what?
Figure it out, buddy.
Yeah, somebody needs to figure it out.
Yeah. So to me, I understand everyone's picking Boston, but all the underlying models, everything still says Boston, but it's like Corsi-Cohasset at 51-49 for Boston, right? Like Dom Lecision on The Athletic has it at 50.8-49.2. Like these sorts of, this is... I'll be honest with you, on our picks on Instagram, I have Boston in 7. But every day that I think about this, I can go back and forth. This is as much of a saw-off as there is in this round.
And we've talked around in circles here, and that's probably my fault. The thing is, you're hearing a lot of press, too, about how tight the series was last year, and that's without Tavares.
And Kadri. Plekanec was playing second line minutes for us for 3 games.
Right. And so,
he's out of the league.
So Kadri played just half the series, I believe, right?
Yep.
I don't know what the season series was.
3-1 for them.
3-1 for them.
We had it 3-1 last year.
I look at how poorly Toronto's played down the stretch.
Yep.
Including, you know, back-to-back losses to the Senators on Saturday night. And you go, man, that doesn't lie. And that's with Tavares.
Yep.
To me, there's something wrong. Now, granted, Dermott came back and Gardner is now back.
Yep.
And
it's looked better. Not as good as you want it to, but it's been better.
And what's Freddie Anderson got? What are you going
to
see there?
To me, that's the whole series. Like, I know that seems so horribly oversimplified, but like everyone talks about Freddie having a bad series last year. He was phenomenal in 5 and 6 to get us there. Now, much like Jake in Game 7, he was awful. But Tuukka Rask was very bad in that series too. A couple of sub 900 goalies in that series.
Yeah, Tuukka Rask has had some bad series. And so what Cassidy was saying this morning too was they asked the question about, you know, you see everywhere, everyone is picking Boston to beat Toronto.
Yep.
Does that concern you, right? Like, to me, that would concern me. Not that I think that those guys, pro athletes,
they've been around long enough, are
going to buy into that too much. But you are talking about a Toronto team that is very talented, right? And has forward depth that would exceed Boston's.
Yep.
And he was, you know, he said, yeah, whatever. And his long rambling answer anyways came down to, he was talking about the pressure and what you hear about Freddie Anderson. He's saying, but we're dealing with that here in Boston. He said, with Rask, the crowd is very,
yep, down on Rask.
The hometown crowd is very fickle, and yep. 50% of them aren't happy with Rask
and
at all.
Like that last year. Now they weren't nearly as comfortable with their backup, so they weren't calling for the other guy to start, which Hudobin. I think was Hudobin at the yep. time, but they were not comfortable with Rask going in, and turned out they shouldn't have been because he was not good. But luckily Freddie was just a little bit worse. And
yeah, yeah. Well,
I think if Freddie is Freddie in this series, Toronto's fine.
And you know what my concern is, and we've talked about this, and I'm going to remove my absolute anti blue team goggles that I have
just for
on.
A minute.
Yeah. Is, and I asked you before, and I would have legitimate concerns about the whole, we talked about Tavares in Long Island and then the next game home and Tavares is out there and they're giving him the standing ovation.
Right. The welcome back.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
Welcome home, whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah. And you're like, we love you.
Yep.
And I'm sure the lacrosse player inside him is saying, I don't need that shit from you.
Probably.
Right. I don't need this.
Yep.
And so you got to think that he hates that. And then we go through the whole Garrett Sparks thing saying, we need to be angrier. And he's calling out his teammates.
So they made him go away.
And then now, and honestly, again, so Sean Simpson was saying right after that Saturday, he's like, if this was a different day and age, he said, that guy's on waivers. That guy is gone. Or he goes, as a backup goalie.
Did you hear what happened today?
No, but let me just finish this.
Sure. Okay.
As a backup goalie, he says, your job is to
no waves, no wrinkles.
Right, be light in the room, yeah. Right? Stay after practice, you know, take extra shots, do all those things. Maybe plan a couple of outings, dinners, whatever. But you be the guy,
yeah.
Right, who lightens the mood. You don't bring the guy who brings more heat and pressure to the team.
Because you're not playing for another 2 weeks, so.
And so that's what he's saying. He's like, you got 34 games in the league. You don't do this. I know you may think you're a competitor.
Right.
That's not your deal.
Well, so.
And so, but now they bring in, now he's gone.
So
are you going to change this on me?
Yep. So they bring in Hutch last Thursday. They call up Michael Hutchinson. That's their last call up. So they can't bring anybody else up. And he can't go back because of his contract without waivers.
Which is good because Belleville plays back-to-back games against the Marlies here later this week. And they need those wins.
Well, and even going into the playoffs, like if Toronto wanted to send him back, why wouldn't any NHL team, just because they can, if they have the room, for their AHL team, just claim him? Go, nope, because you don't have to pay people in the playoffs. You don't have to. So this was we are all in for this year. It's Hutch at the expense of the Marlies, at the expense of the ECHL team, because now their guy goes up to,
right.
to go. So this was organizationally a huge move. Today, Sparks is interviewed for the first time since all this happened. He goes, no, I'm going to Boston with the team tomorrow. And it comes out, Hutchinson's staying back because his wife's having a baby either today or tomorrow. And Sparks got to come back in. Now, obviously, they would have known that the wife is pregnant. I don't know if this is happening earlier than expected or what was up. So after all of that...
It's all the excitement of the NHL salary.
Maybe, yeah. After... Yeah, it's true. We can go back home to the States, have a baby in a good hospital or yeah. something. But yeah. after all of that, after sending Sparks away, no, go away. After bringing this up, by the way, I can't go to game one. Like, oh, fuck.
Well, and...
He's back in the room and...
And I just... I feel like...
I just say, to me, none of that matters. If Sparks or Hutchinson are in the net, oh, fuck, we're done anyway.
Right. So, okay. All right. And everybody says that. And well.
For us, it's especially true. Let me
yeah, no, no, no.
If I'm going from Varlamov to Grubauer, all right, maybe we still got a shot here.
Right. No, no. What I'm saying is everybody says, yeah, if it doesn't matter who the backup in Toronto is, because if you get to that point, you're done anyways.
Yep.
Right? What I'm speaking to is... Is the greater, you know, sensitivity or exactly what it is that's happening?
Just something just off a little bit.
What's happening there?
Yeah,
right. That's what I'm speaking
yeah.
of.
Yep.
Right. Like to me, that at this point, at the end of the season, when you bring Hutch, as you like to say,
well,
Hutchinson,
yeah. Michael Hutchinson.
Yeah. When they bring Hutchinson in, and you go, it smacks of.
What are you doing? You're not supposed to be doing that right before.
Not now.
The playoffs. Yeah.
This is not the time. If you wanted to do it, if you're pissed off, and
do it after that first Ottawa game.
This is it. Go, you're out.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And so, like Bab saying at the time when we talked about it here, Bab saying, yeah, well, Sparky just needs to, he just needs to make saves. That's all he needs to worry yeah. about. Don't, you know, keep the rest of this stuff
One
to
of
yourself.
The things you learn as you go along with Babs as your head coach is that he's saying as much in what he's not saying in what he is saying. So when he's saying he just needs to make saves, he's leaving it at the end of and not fucking talk.
Yeah. I don't spend that much time with Babs, but I got that.
Yeah, sure.
When you're saying, yeah, that guy just needs to make saves, right?
For sure.
But all you're saying is, and shut your pie hole. Like, we don't need it.
So hopefully... That's not a factor in the series. You've got Boston in six.
I've got Boston in six because I don't have big enough balls to say Boston in five.
Five or three.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yep.
I'm fascinated. Like I said, to me, I've been back and forth. I could see this. I expect it to be very close.
Okay. And so do I. And, yeah. and really what it comes down to is Toronto wins game one tomorrow night.
We're rolling.
Like it
changes
puts,
everything.
It for sure changes everything.
Confidence on both teams fluctuates in which way, you know, you're feeling a bit, the dynamics of home ice change. Game one, if Toronto could take it, man.
And I don't think I'm not overstating it. This to me is the most hotly contested, I think, of the eight series.
I think so too.
Well, when you have 200 point teams.
Yep.
Right?
In any other playoff format would not face each other. That's not an excuse, but that's legit. They
right.
shouldn't play each other in
right.
round one. So this is going to be crazy. It's going to be tight. It's going to be, and on both, you know, it's a original six matchup, two huge markets. Ratings wise, it's going to be, this will be the main event of the first round.
Well, and as we say, for me, I think there's all the pressure now that Toronto's got to the spot where they are, where people look at it, especially early in the season, you're like, these guys may lap people offensively, right? And then they were scoring a pile of goals early in the
yep.
season. And then it sort of faltered. I think now you have Boston's rolling,
yep.
right? But it still is reality. Yeah, we're rolling, but that other team is very good.
It's a good team too.
It's very good. And
yep.
if we let them loose and we let them run around and do their thing,
yep.
if we're off, that team's going to make us look stupid. And so the pressure that comes with, and this is why for me personally, I said to you down the stretch, I think it's better for this Leaf team to go into Boston first. I know you wanted the game seven,
yep.
but to me, this turns on an early win for Toronto. If they can go in.
Even just get the split.
Just get the split. And I think for this Toronto team, if you come home with a split.
Yep.
It's anybody's game at that point, because I think the crowd will be so jacked and the team will be buoyed by the win.
Yep.
But I think, man, if they don't win game one, yeesh, the pressure just mounts, and I think it ratchets and ratchets for this team. So to me, I saw a stat today, and for me, it pertains to Toronto more than any other team. They were saying in the last 3 years, the team that's won game one in the first round is, let's see, 3 years ago, the team that won game one was 8-0. 2 years ago, they were 6-2. Last year, 7-1. So you do the math on that, 21-3.
Sure. It's a fair stat.
Okay.
In the first round, you get a lot of 1-8s, right? And you're at home.
Yeah. All I'm saying is that's 3 years. It's 0 wins, 2 wins, 1 win.
Yep.
All I'm saying is whatever you want to do with that. It's 3 years. It's still a short sample size. But
rarely are you getting two 100-point teams. And
okay, so what I'm saying, though, to you is, to me, that stat pertains more to Toronto than any other team, I think, due to the pressure.
To me, it's less so to Toronto than anyone else just because you got these two super high-ranked. It's not your usual one versus four home
but,
ice. So.
But you have, in this case, you have a Toronto team which has, and you could talk about them being 3-4-3 in the last 10 games to end the season.
Yeah.
You and I talked about it. They're 500 since December.
Yep. No, they're stumbling in. They're not coming in hot.
Not only are they not coming in hot.
There is reason for concern. I'll grant you that.
They've got 3.5 months of lukewarm.
I'm just hoping getting some of that defense put back together. But again, is it going to stay healthy? Is it ready to go? Is it up to speed? I'm happier to have it than not. But there's still question marks, right? Like, that's what I'll be looking at in game one is how does Jake look? How does Dermott look? How are we matching up? And more so than how are we matching up, what are they trying to do? Because they're going to have last change. Are they happy to have Bergeron against Muzzin and Zaitsev? Like, if I think that's what Babs wants to do, or does he want to go Riley Hainsey? What are they trying to do, right?
Well, in all fairness, I don't think Muzzin and Zaitsev are the answer.
I don't either.
But
everyone's healthy, I want Jake and Dermott versus they're not heavy, but they will get up and out of the zone quicker than either of those other two pairs.
And all I'm saying is there's been no team who's found the solution to that.
That's
right. So
you're just hoping to saw off that line and then let everything else fall where it may.
Yeah.
If you could do it.
I think you're hoping that you come out as a minus one against that line.
Well, that's what we were last year.
And everyone else in the team.
And they killed
us
on the power play.
Okay, and everybody else on the team can do that because, you're not stopping that line if you can contain that line.
It's just funny what perspective is, man. That's all. And not necessarily yours, but Leaf fans are terrified of this Boston team. And Marchand, Bergeron, and Pasternak killed us last year, but they did it on the power play. Now, that's still not good. A 50% power play.
Yeah, at the end of the day, they'll still count on the scoreboard, don't they?
Absolutely. That power play destroyed our PK. But at 5-on-5, we sawed them off pretty well. We were minus one. If you could do that again and just tried it, could you keep it at 30% their power play this year, right? Maybe you give yourself a chance.
And that's, they will.
Yeah.
It's
a better PK this year. But we'll see. Like this, there's nothing that could happen in this series that would stun me. Either team gets swept, it goes seven, and nothing would stun me.
If there was a sweep, either way it would surprise me. But I'd be shocked shitless if the Leafs swept the Bruins.
But would you be stunned
if the Leafs won in six?
No, I'm saying let's say Boston swept Toronto, but every game was in overtime or 3-2. Like I expect this to be close. Sometimes that just means those close ones bounce for the same team each time.
What was it 2 years ago?
Five out of six against Washington.
Yeah. See, to me, that wouldn't surprise me. I'm not expecting, throw your sticks on the ice and the Bruins are going to smoke them.
Right.
To me, I think you're looking at, it wouldn't surprise me if that was the case.
Right.
Right. In terms of how that whole thing should lose. And I'll be watching it.
No, for sure.
I will be super, as I was last year.
Yep.
To me, my serious distaste for all things blue, for at least the last 35 years of my life,
right,
says to me that short of my team being in it, I'm about as passionate.
Love the bees.
About this as you can get on. Yeah, I'm full on the Bruins bandwagon for round one.
Yep.
Like last year. Then we shift off it because really I don't like the Bruins either. So yes,
lesser of two evils.
I want to talk about Coach Q signing in Florida
as a Panther. You see their logo?
No.
Not just on Twitter and Instagram. So they put the big mustache on the Panther of their logo.
I to me, that's terrible. It's a terrible place for him to sign.
I agree with that. I thought you meant for them. For them, it's a
It's huge.
It's a sweet get. It's huge.
But I think Coach Q is going down there to retire.
He got his $6 million, right? Puts him in the Babcock neighborhood.
I think the Julian neighborhood, too. I think Julian got six times six
that would
in Montreal,
make sense,
right?
Because they had to buy him out of Boston. So
right.
Yeah. And he had said a bunch of times, I want to go to a contender. Well, most contenders don't need a new coach. The For other sure. thing is, Elliot Friedman on his podcast said that he has heard that anytime anyone is talking to Joel Quenneville, anytime he's about to be hired anywhere, it's what's our goaltending look like now in the future? And why wouldn't it be, right?
Yeah.
What does that mean in Florida? If he asked that question in Florida, well, we have Reimer and we have Harry Sateri and we have Roberto Luongo.
You have Luongo about to go on long-term
LTIR. Does everyone just know Bobrovsky's going there?
Yeah, how much tampering
honestly
has been going on if they're saying, listen, Bobrovsky and Panarin, they're coming
Our
here.
Our goaltending will be fine. Don't worry about it.
Right, and they talk about Miami and how large the Russian-speaking population is there,
yeah,
which apparently fairly large, and clearly that's the Cuban
influence
for sure.
Yeah,
all those leftovers from the missile crisis. But yeah, otherwise they're saying it's a no tax state. He's 6x6. He is also big into horse raising, right?
Yeah,
that this is his deal, and that's a great area for that. And you're like, you are going into a spot where you have to work harder than anywhere else to combat that sort of country club culture.
Yeah, the Muskoka Five.
In the sun, and we're golfing, and we're on the beach. And
we have no fans.
To me, like nowhere else.
Our feet to the fire.
Tampa doesn't have those issues. You got cup wins in L.A. and in Anaheim.
Yep.
San Jose has been super competitive. They've been to the cup recently.
Yep.
They don't seem to have those problems. The Panthers can't seem to shake that deal. And if you have a guy going in there who's looking at...
He's on his retirement plan.
Honestly, I look at it and go, you could have went to Philadelphia,
yep,
who apparently was pitching hard for him.
Edmonton.
Buffalo over Edmonton.
Sure. But, you know, teams with young stars that maybe can get this shit figured out.
Well, see, to me, Edmonton is... They are so...
Could have gone to Ottawa.
But no. So bogged down.
Not for $6 million.
Yeah, no. Not for... Is he going to sign for like $950? Can we get him for that? No. Like, to me, if you're going Buffalo, but Philly, they still have, as of mid-year, I haven't looked again since, number one rated system in terms of prospects.
Well, and they have the young goalie who looks like he's going to be something, right? Well, you have the young defense coming.
And they had a horrible first half of the season.
Yep.
Pitched hard, moved hard in the second half, coaching and GM change. That's the spot I'm looking at. And you go, he wants to go places. Like, to me, Joel Quenneville, you bring him in, he's a finisher.
Yeah. Right? Well, are they close enough? They have no goalie.
This is what I'm saying.
If you could plug Bobrovsky in there with what they have up front, I don't love their defense. It's all right.
Well,
but they got pieces up front.
And if you can make Luongo's cap hit go away, we talked about that in depth a couple of episodes ago.
Yeah.
But are they going to have room for Bobrovsky and Panarin on free agency deals?
Yeah. That seems unlikely.
Without making some other moves.
Florida tax. Whatever that.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
We always hear about Tampa using it.
Well,
Tampa's a desirable place to go.
Yeah, but it's become that way because solid ownership.
Because
good management and good teams, right?
Yep.
You've put shit together and made stuff happen.
Right.
Yet Florida, to me, that...
I was stunned.
Yeah.
I honestly was.
And I think, it strikes me as again, as you said, he's a guy who's now later in his career, and you're like...
I could live in Miami.
I could do this.
Yeah.
I could just
no expectations, no media.
This is it. Now I got my money, and my wife and I, the kids are all gone. We're just gonna.
Now we'll see. As Buffalo has canned Phil Housley, Ottawa, I assume, isn't planning to go into next year with Mark Crawford. But in this division now for coaches, Babcock, Cooper, Quenneville,
Julian,
like, and Cassidy's been pretty. You know, I don't want to go back to the Toronto-Boston thing. Last year, Cassidy outcoached Mike Babcock. That absolutely is what happened.
See, Cassidy is...
An up-and-coming...
Cassidy is to coaching what Roy Halladay was to pitching. Right? When you look at Halladay coming up to the majors and then going right back down to single A.
Figured out.
Retooling, yep. Figuring out coming back up, and then being an absolute stud. Right? Cassidy got that job in Washington way too early. He went right back down, right, to being assistant coach, head coach in the minors, working his way right back up to getting that job back in Boston.
Yeah.
And, like, he's a guy who went, okay, too much, too fast. I'm not ready for this. Right back out. And I can't remember if he went back to junior and then worked his way back through the A. But he's a guy now who's come back and has got his shit tight.
Yeah.
Right? And so...
Well, they game planned for us and executed to AT. And you could see them doing it, and you could see us not adjusting. And I think Babcock's under as much pressure as anybody else this year to match Cassidy.
Well, it's a great opportunity. It's an
opportunity. We've got good players. They've got good players. And just need to stop the puck and shut his fucking mouth. We're going to wind down Talkan Sports. Don't forget, on Sunday, Ian Mendez in studio of TSN 1200. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Good get.
Honest to God. Honest to God. Give us a follow on Twitter, Instagram, at Talkan Audio. Get your picks in there before game one starts here in these series. And let us know what you think of ours. Other than that, we'll wind this one down. As always, man, it's a good show.
Good show. It's
pretty good. Yeah.
Yep.
We'll be watching.
We did all right. Patting the back here.
Yeah. Honest, Stanley Cup playoffs starting tonight. We'll be all in on that as we move forward, talking about that for next couple of months now.
Love it.
Ooh, fucking Jays are.
Great time of year.
It's no good. Hey, we'll talk to you on the next
one. Beat the Red Sox, though.
You can get more TCA at TallCanAudio.com or by searching TallCanAudio on your favorite podcast app.